All right, we'd like to welcome everyone into the first episode of the All Grit Podcast. I am your host, Caleb Annual. Here we go, boys. It's that time. It's week one. We're going to break it all down, and I brought with me two of, I would say, probably the best lion knowers outside of myself that I could find in the greater Grand Rapids area. With us, just down the street, my good friend Adrian Labra. Welcome to the show, Adrian.
Thanks, man. Thanks for putting it together.
Absolutely.
What a thrill yesterday, man.
What are your thoughts?
It was quite the roller coaster. I think any just casual viewer that doesn't even like the Lions would probably have rooted for them last night.
Yep.
It was a classic. Like, it's a classic. And after that playoff game and then just this game again, it just feels like there's a real rivalry between the Rams and Lions now.
Yeah, I feel like that's developing. Of course, with the Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff and all that fun stuff. But we will get back into the crowd noise and everything a little bit later. But we're going to bring in the last person on this podcast, the one and only from, where are you from, Clay? Midland?
Grand Blanc.
I'm East Coast now.
Can we get that air horn? Can one of you guys get that air horn for the pod? Bow, 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 bow. We need that. All right, Clay, what are your thoughts on yesterday's game?
I was really impressed with just the defensive stops in the first half. Like, I think they just made the game. Just forcing them to go for it on fourth down. Detroit's been in that position several times, as we all know. Turnover on downs, holding to field goals, and of course that huge interception in the half. So that just really, what a play to head into halftime. But I'll get to halftime a little bit later. I got a little something to add to that.
That's right. We got to slow it down a little bit. We got to get into the, what do you guys think? I think it was a slow start. I mean, both teams, it seemed like it was just kind of going back and forth. That's what I wrote in my notes. It was just super slow on both sides.
But, I mean, it's normal. It was week one, and a lot of these starters, these guys, they haven't played since January.
Yeah.
Some new free agents from December spent almost more than half a year. What I really saw was the offensive line, those big guys in the front.
Yep.
There was miscommunication. The chemistry was a little off. Some post-game interviews with some of those guys, they recognize it, like Neidler and Graham Glassville, the guards. Sometimes they weren't getting their blocks on time. On the pass protection, they were a little off. That came with the sacks. If you saw the replay, that's where those sacks came from.
Yeah, like those sacks on Goff.
It was just miscommunication. Like, who had who? So, I think these guys can just clean that up. Like, that's just a major thing. I think it's kind of good news. Like, this is the baseline. This is the worst that O-line will play. As long as everyone's healthy, this is the worst we'll see them. And they were awesome at the end of the day. Like, there was miscommunication with that in the beginning. But then by the end, over time, they were...
Yeah, they warmed up.
People movers, man.
So, on the opposite end of the ball, you got the Rams O-line. So, I came into this game saying, all right, well, Hutch is going to have three sacks by himself. Davenport might get one but really, and we're going to break this down a little bit later, but for them being out three offensive tackles, I mean, they were bringing in the water boy there after a while. What do you guys think about how that defensive line played against such a horrible offensive line of the Colts? I mean, of the Rams.
Well, Clay, what did you see there? You were there at the game.
Oh, there's the drop. Yes, one of our own was there. What'd you see, Clay?
I love the Lions, but Hutch had some missed tackles, man. Especially in the first half of this close half, so you could have got to Stafford.
Yep.
But again, it was week one rustiness, but I think Hutch got off good. Got to the quarterback, just got a couple missed tackles. They'll clean that stuff up. But they got the big jump off the line, though. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that backups on the O-line, they purposely told Matt Stafford, like, to just get rid of the ball as quick as you can.
Yeah.
And you saw that. Like, he was just dinking and dunking as soon as he hiked it to the outsides.
Yep.
And to get 2-3 yards. And that was, like, the run game because their O-line couldn't push. So, that's, like, what they ended up doing. And it looks, from, you know, if you replay it, it looks like we weren't doing much. But Hutch was there in, like, 2.7 seconds.
Absolutely. He was there.
Yeah.
He probably had 8 pressures or 10 pressures, whatever it was, you know, only a couple hits. But, yeah, so question, if you're the defensive coordinator at that point, why would you not put, I don't know, almost like gunners at that point? If you know your defensive line is getting that much pressure and where Stafford's got to get it off in 2.5 seconds, you would think that they would just make an adjustment to where they could just literally be picking the ball off within that first 5 to 10 yards. But Cooper Kupp, you got to give him credit. He got off that line and he did everything for them. But I was a little bit disappointed, and because of the Rams offensive line being so depleted, I think it just should have been just sack central, and it wasn't. So, but you're right. I mean, they're prepared for that.
Yeah, they were getting the ball off pretty quick. And honestly, dude, like Stafford, he had one of the best games I've seen him play.
Oh, he lit it up.
Since he left Detroit. some of his throws are insane. Like
when he got hit by 3 players. Yeah.
Like, Hutch grabbing his jersey already. Like, it was crazy.
And don't look down, so I was like, oh my goodness.
You're going to get Clay crying again, man. Don't do that. Don't do that. All right, so boys, I wrote also, so you got the Gibbs tutty. What do you guys think about that? I mean, ball crossed the plane there at the end. It was a good call, but nothing exciting, just business. So I didn't hear anybody talk about this, but this literally blew my mind. I didn't even tell you guys about this before because I wanted to get your thoughts straight, fresh. Coaching decision. I think he did a good job throughout the whole game. One coaching decision blew my mind. Put yourself back at the end of the first half. They get the ball back at the end of the first half, and I think they had maybe 11 seconds left or whatever it was. And I'm thinking, okay, we just stopped them. Go out and take a knee, go into halftime up 10 or 14, whatever it was at the point. And they trot out Jared Goff out there, and we're on the 15-yard, 20-yard line, whatever it was, and they are trying to throw a Hail Mary. And what happens? Yeah. He gets sacked.
I replayed that because I was upset with the sack. I'm like, where did this come from? So I replayed that play after they went to halftime like 3-4 times. And Jared Verse just beats Taylor Decker just on the outside. Like, okay. Taylor was sleeping. Like, I feel like maybe he didn't expect that.
Right. Right. But can you imagine a strip sack, or at least, I mean, they hit him. The ball could have popped out easily, and then they're sitting right there to put 3 on the board. I just think that was a horrible coaching decision. You're putting, I mean, you're not on the 50, you're not on the 40, you're on the 15 or 20, and it just needed, it needed a lot of help.
I think that was the only mistake. I think the rest of the game was pretty clean, but that one maybe was a head scratcher.
Yeah. All right, so we move on to the second half. I'm going to let you take it from here, Adrian. I'm just going to say Waymo.
Hold on.
Okay.
We need Clayton's bird's eye view. Where were you sitting, by the way, in the stadium?
We were on lower bowl, about the 43-yard line. So we had really good. Oh, yeah, we were in that boy. So it was nice, man. It was nice. I was like, pretty spot. The loudest of Ford Field. They showed out, man. Ford Field showed out for sure.
So question for you, Clay. Clay went to the first Lions playoff home division champ game in what, 20 something years last year, whatever it was. What was the atmosphere like from the playoff game to yesterday opening against that same team that they opened up with in the playoffs?
But yeah, so, hey, you can't mark that. You can't equal what that was like last year. But man, they showed out. It was definitely, everyone was loud. It was definitely, especially that first drive, that quick first three and out in the first half for the Rams.
Yeah.
That was all
the God of Thunder. Good to see that. Good to see that. Drum line, baby. The drum line. It's Sunday Night Football. That leads us into the second half, and sadly, yeah, we had to deal with, was that third quarter or fourth quarter, that drought? I really don't, it just seemed like it lagged the whole thing.
When was that Jameson Williams touchdown? Was it that early third quarter or mid third quarter?
Yeah, it must have been the start of the second half, because that's in my notes. I got, you know, Waymo. Yeah, yeah. So what did you think? You wrote a couple things down, Adrian, about going forward after seeing them kind of spread the ball to J-Mo. You know, what do you think is going to happen now, future coming?
Well, that touchdown, man, that is exactly what I dreamed of. Like, if you keep up with the Lions and you know how last year ended, we're down receivers, we lost Josh Reynolds, we really needed Jameson to step up. The biggest reason is to spread the defense on the opposing side. And that was just like the perfect start to have J-Mo have just a bomb thrown to him. Him just like embarrassing the quarterback and getting like, what was it, like a 60-yard touchdown, like where he was just easily running. I'm sure he was going super fast. But what that does now is that puts it on film.
Yep.
Now that it's Team Tampa Bay, they're reviewing, they're like, okay, what are the Lions running this year? They look at J-Mo, they're like, okay, now we have to play deeper. And that just helps us the rest of the season to have more of a spread field. Because last night, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Laporta, they didn't really do much. And everybody expected them to have a big game like they did in the playoff. But, man, the Rams really were prepared to double-team those guys. Put a lot of people in the box. But now with J-Mo doing that, dude, I think it's going to spread it more and allow more opportunities for Jared Goff to find his guys in the middle. So that was ideal, and hopefully J-Mo has another
big game next Sunday, too.
And I'm going to give a big shout out real quick to Teddy Bridgewater. So I think that I figured that Teddy Bridgewater did a lot of work with J-Mo in his time in Detroit. I know J-Mo's giving some shout-outs to Teddy as well. I just, he's come so far since pulling the suspension and then those early drops last year. Has just really, I think they were calling him going for a while, actually. So, but what a catch. So I'm going to go right to the, or I'm going to double put a pass game on that. And he's come so far since coming out of the gates with Detroit. So, to catch that, I mean, he was wide open, and they had a flag on the guy, and he was still, like, 50 yards ahead of that man. Yeah. So, what J-Mo,
Yeah, that flag really messed up the camera and his celebration, if you saw that, because, you know, the camera spanned to everybody else but J-Mo, and he's over there riding the horse and, you know, getting up and down on it. So we need to see more of that. Yeah, I'm glad he caught it. He was wide open, and I've heard he's had the case of the drops during camp. So if he can keep doing that during mid-game, that's all that matters. Now, on a little bit, dare I say, downside, so that was the good uptake, right? So what do you guys think about Brian Branch? I feel like he was rusty. He missed tackles. He over-pursued. I think he dropped a pick. It was a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Johnson, yeah.
Rams got that
60-yarder or whatever it was.
Pick up. And it could have been a loss. It could have been a tackle for a loss, and they end up gaining, like, 45 yards on it.
Yep, big time.
Yeah, that was a bummer. But I think with Brian Branch, you know, he had his injury in the offseason, and he didn't have a full training camp. So he's got some rust to shake off. And he's usually, like, our best open field tackler. Like,
for sure, yeah. Yep. So I also have in my notes here, guys, we've been dealing with kicking issues ever since, let's see, we can go back to Matt Prater, we can go back to Jason Hansen, you can go back to Eddie Murray. I mean, we've had a great lifetime of kickers, but for the last couple of years, it's been sad since Prater left. So what do you guys think? Money Bates, thoughts?
Well, my first thought was just, dude, I was that nervous every time he would kick, especially on that last kick to tie the game.
Yeah.
Crucial, dude.
Yeah.
Because they, like, cut to him before the kick when he was on the sideline, and he looked kind of scared.
Like, I don't know if that's just...
that's just his facial expression, and that's just, like, how he is or whatever, but he looked scared, and I was like, oh, Lord. Like, he missed the similar, like, yardage in the preseason.
Right.
You know?
It's extra point preseason.
Yeah, exactly. All that. So I was just like, oh, dude, I didn't feel good about it. But
no. It was right down the middle. He
came
good.
Yep.
He's a guy that can, like, he's got a leg. He can kick 50-58, kick all those short ones. You're going to need the short ones too, boy.
Right.
So, if you, like, we mentioned it, he missed the short one in preseason. So, it wasn't a gimme. But he did it, man. He, shout out to him, man. And, you know, he had the first one under your belt. I don't think they're bringing any kickers this week, so.
That a boy.
I think he misses it, though. They bring some kickers in this week.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Can you guys imagine if Bates misses that kick with 17 seconds on the clock or whatever it was to end regulation? He misses that kick. LA wins by taking a knee. What are we talking about today?
Well, I think some of the SOL people come back out.
Yeah.
Talking loud. Yeah.
Even though, you know, I think SOL died
last
several
year.
Years ago in Green Bay. But, yeah, I think some SOL people would come out being loud. And it would have been a tough week.
Yeah. For sure. Especially, and I think it's this big for so many ways. For Bates, for one, for kicking future. But also, it was been rewarding to our defense because they didn't let Stafford kneel the game out.
Mm-hmm.
I know Stafford wanted to take a kneel, that he wanted that big three formation. I mean, the defense came out, and what a wonderful way to reward them. I mean, we wanted seven. I wanted seven. But
yeah.
What a kick, man. What a kick. But yeah, I agree, man. If he misses that, we're in a whole different.
Yeah,
I'm not excited during this podcast.
Right, and we're gonna have some sad podcasts this upcoming season. I'm sure of it. It's the NFL, but it is nice to talk about a win. It's nice to talk about a win when the Lions didn't look like the better team for over 50% of that game. The drives that Stafford and the Rams put together, the time of possession, everything that the Rams did kept the Lions on the sidelines, really. And so to pull out that win, when you lose the time of possession, you almost lost the turnover battle, but that, I think that was dead even. But yeah, just to get away with one, honestly, and like everyone says, you're never going to apologize for a win. But it's good to win, and you still have stuff that you know you need to improve on.
Yeah. I want to back up real quick. Right before the kick, Goff threw it to Gibbs on that route he ran where he was wide open to the end zone, which would have been like the game-winning touchdown. And Gibbs slipped.
Thank you for bringing that up.
What was up with all the slipping yesterday, dude? I don't know what was with the turf or what, like on the raw slip. Like, there's so many players were slipping.
I think we're back to just being rusty. I mean, so many people did play, man. He had Brown, Goff, Gibbs, so many. I know O'Gurman had a great game running, but so many players who just didn't play in that preseason, they get used to it. You know, so they're used to being out there in Hammer Park. Right. I just don't think they were used to that, to the turf, you know.
Adrian, to your point, I'm glad you brought that up because that made me think of something. So put yourself back. You're at end of regulation. Stafford throws the ball right sideline. Mm-hmm. Do you remember who was it? Carlton Davis slipped and had the ball hit right off his chest. Yeah. He came down, got the wind knocked out of him a little bit. So rewind that. He makes that catch if he doesn't slip. Right. Let's just say he makes that catch. Now the Lions are 17 seconds away, or 11. I forget which one it was. But they had one or two timeouts at that time. So they could have easily put Jake Bates in position to kick a 60 plus for the win.
Yeah. Because I think just like not even gaining yards, that would have been like a 61 yarder or something like that, right?
A little bit longer, I think. But
he kicked before on that field.
Oh, yeah. I was ready for him to kick a 71, like Dallas set up for a 71 yarder earlier in the day. But honestly, earlier the Dallas kicker did hit a 66 when they took a timeout or whatever it was. So he literally tied the NFL record, and it didn't even count. So he's a beast, and our kicker's a beast. So let's get that record this year. We know he's got it, and if you were to tell me over under Jake Bates, I would take the over. He's gonna get it. He's gonna get it this year. He's gonna kick a plus 66 for the win.
Oh yeah, I think he'll be in the spot, even if it's not like a game winner, but you know, end of the half.
Or true.
He'll be
yes.
In some situation where he'll go for it.
Absolutely.
I think Gabe will definitely test that leg out.
That's right, baby. Yeah. Otherwise, we're not talking. Yeah. All right. One last thing I got. Overtime. Matthew Stafford picks heads. You never pick heads. He picked heads. It was tails. So.
Tails never fails.
That goes back to.
I couldn't wait. That's so silent because everyone here with a coin toss was when he said.
Did he? Nice. So we get the ball. And what I had in my notes, literally, guys, is run, 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 no doubt.
Yeah.
So I mean, they came out on a mission. They said, "We know our bread and butter, Gibbs. You take a water break, and we're bringing Montgomery back out here, and we're just gonna run." And I believe they ran 8 plays or 7 plays, one of those two. And it was run, 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 hitch out to Gibbs, run, 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 touchdown. So quick thoughts. We're coming up on a half an hour. Quick thoughts on that last drive.
My quick thought is just Montgomery is going to have a bigger year than last year. The dude is insane. And we're getting into midnight. But these guys are, you know, they're tired. They played a whole game. And this guy looked fresh.
literally looked like fresh in overtime, and he just took over by himself. It was awesome.
You didn't go 3 and out, man. Like, that was...
Thank you.
You win the coin toss, do not go 3. Don't go 3 and out.
And how many times did they do that in the fourth quarter? I believe 3 or 4 times. Yeah. 3 and out. I mean, back to back. I mean, that's what gave the Rams a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I think that first down was so big. Just to see that first down, man. Like, and I think that's what the Lions are. Well, this especially for that game, but just if you get a first down, they're going on the field. You just got to get that first, get that spark going. Get each drive. I mean, that just, man, what a drive. What a game winning drive.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like every time we at least get that first down, they settle in and then at least get down to the red zone.
Yeah.
The way this offense plays.
Moving.
On the clock too, man. I mean, not that, you know, they have to kick a field goal, but that's another thing. They got the job done. They didn't leave it up to the Woodlock got a touchdown, man, in the game.
Hey, Clay, one of the last times I was at Ford Field was the infamous 10-second runoff where we celebrated for about a minute and a half, and then they want to come back and steal the game from us from Atlanta. How did it feel in the stadium when they said 10-second runoff, and Lions fans actually took a breath and they said, hey, that actually works in our favor?
Well, so that's why I was like, hey, that's okay. That's okay, but I think like the – going back to that play was, I thought that was almost a negative thing for us because I thought they were going to take the 10 seconds runoff and the Rams were going to call a timeout. So I thought it was going to work against us because I was like, man, we lost 10 seconds, but it could have been like 20 plus.
Right.
Yeah.
But then Rams never called a timeout. So that's one thing I'll put on back to Dan Campbell. Great use of timeouts. Going into that team that morning.
Yep.
A horrible timeout uses for Sean McVay. Like, I don't know what he was doing, but, like, yeah. Or, no, it's going to the fourth quarter. Like, sides are gonna, like, you know, you just have more than 17 seconds. Like, that's what I couldn't believe. Like, lines are gonna get points, but it's gonna be a touchdown. It doesn't matter. Whether it be a touchdown or a field goal, like, lines are gonna get points.
That's our coach. That's our coach. So real quick, wanted to say we are going to be doing this hopefully every week. After a Lions game. So if the game is on a Thursday, we'll try to shoot it out Friday, just so it's fresh on our minds. If it's on a Sunday, we'll shoot it out Monday. If it's on a Monday, Monday might be difficult because there's Tuesday meeting for some of us, but we'll work it out. We'll maybe shoot it earlier, shoot it on Wednesday. But also, if anyone listening wants to have a question sent in, go ahead and send that question in to CalebAniel@yahoo.com. CalebAniol. And
DM us on Insta.
What's that?
Or just DM us.
Just slide in the DMs. That's we'll answer questions on that too if you want. Yeah, you got all three of Clay, did you post this on your story? Because I know David did. Yeah, I mean, because your clique of people is different than me and Adrian. So we're trying to get, not worldwide, but we're trying to get, you know, multinational at least. We know we're in the United
States.
Yeah, we know we'll be in the States, but we're trying to bump out to different countries. So.
Yeah, we'll have different guests on the podcast. Stay tuned.
Yep.
I'm trying to get Lomas Brown in here a couple weeks. We met him at training camp. So.
Lomas? Oh, I thought you said Little Miss Brown. I'm like, who's Little Miss Brown? Lomas. Yeah, we could call Lomas. I got his number. Clay gave him a big old hug, didn't you, Clay?
Oh, man. I was like, I'm not a good day, man. That was a good day, man. That was a good day with the boys. We get D-Plex in here soon, so
shout out to him. You know, I did talk to Glover Quinn the other day, too, so I might be able to reach back to him and pull that up. So.
Let's go.
All right, boys, we just hit 30 minutes. So, closing remarks, and we're out.
All right. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Hope y'all Lions fans can stay with us. It's going to be a fun season to remember.
I'm just picking back up from January. We, you know, we just finished a win against the Rams, and we're going into a game against Tampa. And look where we're at next week, a game against Tampa. So,
we'll
see off this energy. Keep it going. And once again, thanks, Caleb, for getting this group together. It's going to be a fun season, and it's going to be fun.
That's right.
All right, boys. Well, it was a pleasure hosting this, and we can't wait for next week as well. Like you said, Tampa, 2-1-0 teams coming to Ford Field again, just like last year. So here we go. Let's say it all together. What's our podcast, boys?
We got
it. All Grit. The All Grit Podcast. Let's go. All signing out. Later.